Daredevil is back. My full thoughts on She-Hulk Episode 8 coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
We do this all day.
What are they called again?
Annulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth. Mysterio is the truth.
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up? What is up? And welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simmy. Today in the pod, I'm giving you my full thoughts on what I consider to be the best episode of She-Hulk yet, Episode 8. Matt Murdock is back, and he's bringing the swag, bringing the cool factor to She-Hulk and his character, and it's very exciting to see. Just a friendly reminder before I start breaking down the episode and getting into all of the details, all the things that I liked, all the little tidbits that I felt like we were given, all the introductions to some really cool information. This is the second to last episode of this podcast. Next week, in conjunction with the finale of She-Hulk, is going to be the very last episode of 15 Minutes of Marvel. So if you're new to the pod, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the podcast is ending, but there is a healthy backlog of almost 200 episodes of Marvel content for you to check out. And if you've been around the pod for a while, thank you so much. I appreciate your patronage, your listening, and it does make me sad to say goodbye. But we'll save the goodbyes until next week. We'll keep on keeping on with She-Hulk for this episode. I felt like we were introduced to so many new things in this episode. And, you know, it was only like 25 minutes, 27 minutes. And I feel like we just got a lot of information. So let's break this episode down. Right out of the gate, we are introduced to this new superhero called Leapfrog. He refers to himself as the Guard Frog. And in reality, he is Mr. Patilio. His father is a really big client of Jen's law firm. This guy's fine. I don't really know. I don't really have any thoughts on Leapfrog. His suit looked, it did not look up to snuff, if I'm going to be honest with you. It did not look like Jacobson's best work. But, you know, could have been bad lighting. Could have been the fact that he put jet fuel in his boosters. I don't know what it was. But I did like the twist. I did like the turn that Leapfrog ended up being the bad guy. I thought that worked really well in this episode because I had zero clue that we were going to go down that way. Introduction to Matt Murdock. This was the long-awaited, long-anticipated introduction of Matt Murdock, Daredevil, into She-Hulk, really kind of into the MCU. I mean, he showed up in No Way Home before, but this is really the first time we've gotten like a good, healthy scene with him, and I couldn't have loved it more, if I'm going to be honest with you. And I have not finished the original Daredevil series. I am not current. I am not a huge Daredevil fan. I'm not one of those people, but I thought this introduction was excellent, and I have seen the first couple seasons, so I understand kind of his humor, kind of his personality, and I love that he led off with a joke. I thought that was very fitting for his personality, and I just felt like he gelled in so well to this episode. Keeping in line with things that we learned, the Sokovia Accords are appealed. I feel like that was a big piece of information that kind of just like got dropped in the courtroom, and Matt was like, yeah, Sokovia Accords, they're appealed. So that happened. So we now live in a post-Sokovia Accords world in the MCU. I feel like that is a very important piece of information to know, and I like that they just kind of threw it in there. I feel like that was best. They didn't linger on it. There wasn't anything extra. I just thought it played pretty good and pretty well. I think this episode had the best use of the fourth wall break that we have seen yet. And I feel like it's kind of cheating because I know that I'm calling this the best episode yet and my personal favorite. I feel like it's cheating for two reasons. Reason number one is Daredevil is here. And I will explain to you, it is not a Daredevil thing. It is a companion to Jen situation here. Even though I like Daredevil, I think he serves the story better as someone for Jen to bounce off of. Number two, it is episode 8. It is the penultimate episode. So, of course, it is designed by nature to be the best episode, to be the one that leads you into the big finale. And I I liked it though. I liked it quite a lot. And I feel like the use of the fourth wall break in this episode was really on point. I feel like it was done really, really well. The multiple times that Jen kind of looked at the camera and said like, oh, we're feeling this, right? Like, I thought that was a great way to bring us into that show, into that episode, and validate our feelings as an audience member and be like, okay, cool. Jen's feeling it too. Cause I'm feeling it. They definitely have some chemistry. They definitely have a little spark going on there. And I think that played really well because it was a new situation and it required that kind of validation. I think that is why that did work super well. I like the fight with Daredevil. I have a couple picky nits with the fights that we have. Obviously the amount of CG is necessary. It's a lot. I mean, I get it. We're like demolishing parking garages and cars and all these things. I like the way that he shows up. I think it's pretty cool. And they just start fighting. We get to see Jen's super suit for the first time, which I thought was nice that we get that combination of seeing both of their super suits for the very first time together. And I don't like the color scheme for Daredevil. I don't know. Is that a hot take? I feel like that might be a hot take. I feel like everybody, like Daredevil, can do no wrong, but like the gold and the red, it's just not for me. And I know it's comic book accurate and I understand that and I respect that, but I just like what he had in the Daredevil show. I like the red. I like the deep dark red that you know represents his true nature. I thought it played better. I love the Daredevil kind of chimes that we get in, you know, kind of the back score, the back song that we get when we're really dealing with a Daredevil heavy situation. I like that quite a lot. We got a hallway scene callback. I thought this was interesting, and I thought it was really smart. I guess overall, I think the episode did a really smart job of integrating Matt Murdock into the show by allowing him the room to kind of call back to things that we already know about him because of his prior episode, right? Don't ask me how I know he's lying. I just know he can sense heartbeats. They talk about kind of his echolocation and things that we know because we've seen them play out over 20 episodes. And they kind of just give them the little nods. I thought that was really well done. The hallway scene is definitely not as good as this Daredevil season one hallway scene. We all know this. That is like one of the greatest, you know, comic book fight scenes in television history. I don't know, in project history. But I do like that it kind of recognized and put him back in this situation. My one thing when I was watching it, I was like, you know what? This fight scene, it just feels a little too polished. I think that is what Daredevil, the show, and Daredevil the character did so well. It wasn't so polished. He is from Hell's Kitchen. He's a man of the streets, a man of the people, a man of the underbelly of New York City. And so his fighting style and especially the camera style and the way that the show was made was to reflect that. And I feel like this show, obviously not his show, a lot more focused on Jen, and it just felt a little bit too polished for my liking in that situation. Lots of things in the end of this episode. And again, I mentioned the fourth wall break because this was the best fourth wall break that we have gotten yet from Jen, mentioning like, oh, shouldn't this be the end of the episode? What is happening? You know, should the finale is coming? It doesn't seem right like that we're doing the gala right now. And the finale, and this is going to happen, and is this the moment that we get a Red Hulk, or blah, blah, blah. So, I love the Red Hulk. I thought that was great. Really smart use of the fourth wall break, again, because it draws us in to understanding that she is questioning the very same things that we are questioning. And, obviously, we get the nod to Red Hulk. Thought that was incredible. We get her friend bust out the makeup brushes like Wolverine. I don't know if any of you caught this, or if I'm just, like, overanalyzing, but she had her makeup brushes like Wolverine, and she gave off a little sound effect, and I really liked that a lot. Obviously, we have to talk about the ending. We'll talk about the ending here in a second, but we have to talk about the fact that Daredevil and She-Hulk, they fuck. They definitely, I mean, it is very clear that they get together, and I've mentioned before here on the show, I think some of the best episodes of She-Hulk are the ones in which we get that more adult-style Marvel. We get horny Marvel. We get, like, really hot Marvel because they're recognizing that that is part of Jen's personality. That is part of who she is as a character. and she is an adult and she is living in the real world and there is sex in the real world. And so I like that we got that with Jen and Matt. I thought that played well. I thought they had a great chemistry. And I love that. And I really love the Walk of Shame. The Walk of Shame in the Daredevil suit was very funny to me. I thought that was a really, really well done. Very fitting for Matt's character too. And I thought it was a really good comedic bit kind of with them at the very end there. And then we get that big ending, right? At the gala, we get this massive kind of like weird message from Intelligentsia and basically saying like, look, do you want to know who she really is? Blah, 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 blah. She's also a slut, which I was like, I was a little like, whoa, that's intense. But that is exactly what this show is trying to tackle, right? That is exactly what this show is trying to do, is seeing how the world portrays Jen as a product, as a She-Hulk, as Jen, as a superhero, as all these different identities. And then we get to the very end. She's surrounded by officers at gunpoint. She's obviously freaked out. Her job is probably in jeopardy. I assume there's going to be some kind of blow up here at the end. I don't really know where this is going. It looks to me like Todd is kind of at the middle of this, Mr. Wakandan Spear. Nobody collects African shit like him. I don't know. You're looking a little sus to me. And I did think that part was pretty funny. I think overall this episode had some of the best humor that we have seen. And I mentioned at the top of the pod that there are a few reasons I think this is the best episode. I think, you know, Daredevil coming in is part of that. But I think more clearly is the fact that I think Jen Walters, She-Hulk, as a character, works better with somebody to bounce off of. I think she is a really incremental piece of a puzzle when it comes to a dual situation like that. And so having her by herself for the previous 7 episodes, we've gotten to know her character, which is obviously beneficial. We can't get to where we're going if we don't know who she is and how she acts. But having her paired with Matt really allows her personality to shine, I felt like, and really allowed her to kind of rattle off some good jokes, really kind of talk about how she was feeling, really put her in a situation to be herself, to be Jen Walters. And I think it took too long to get there. I think the show really took its time with trying to get to this moment and making the Daredevil reveal be this big penultimate episode reveal, which I understand, you know, that is right in line with a classic penultimate episode situation. But I just feel like we might have missed out on so much good stuff of what was possible with Jen and Matt before this. Obviously, if we get Matt before this, and they don't, you know, get together until this episode, that kind of loses that impact a little bit. So there are definitely pros and cons, but I just feel like Ben works or Jen works better under a kind of a dual situation here. I feel like she works better in a partnership, and I just feel like it allows her to be herself a little bit more. So I think that is where this episode shined. And again, I know some of it is definitely to credit of Matt Murdock, to the credit of Daredevil. His personality just fits with her so well. But even so, I think you could have put someone else in as well and had a good kind of relationship with them, which makes me very excited for whatever project She-Hulk is going to be in next. I would assume she's going to be in Secret Wars. I would assume she's going to be in things coming up in the future. I think she just works really quite better as a team and with people around her, and it just suits her personality and the way she speaks and the way she riffs. And so I'm excited to see her put in those situations. I think overall it was a pretty solid episode. I like it, and I think episode 9 is going to be pretty good. I have no idea where this is going, and I'm really genuinely kind of excited to see where it's going to go. I would assume that we're going to get a really big cliffhanger at the end of episode 9 that'll lead into a movie or a project or a TV show or whatever it is going to be that will kind of keep us on the edge of our seats for what She-Hulk is going to be a part of next. Just feels like the mode that this show is going, especially with the way that this episode ended. But overall, I liked it quite a bit. Next week on the pod is going to be the last episode. I'm going to be reviewing episode 9 of She-Hulk, the finale. I will also be giving my review of Werewolf by Night, the very first Marvel Studios special presentation just in time for spooky season. So I'll be doing a double review on next week's episode of the pod. So don't miss that. Be sure to subscribe to any major podcast or to this podcast on any major podcast platform. What did you think of episode 8 of She-Hulk? Hit me up on Twitter at 15minutemarvel and let me know your thoughts. Are you enjoying the show so far? What do you think is going to happen in episode 9? A huge shout out to the patrons of the show: Brandon Clark, Alan Cole Peacock, Ben Lawhorn, Corelli Christina, TJ Zorich, Jessica, Carlos Freitas, and Joey Lett. Thank you all so much for your support of the pod. I will see you back here next time. I'm Ethan Simi, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.